Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
We are starting a new series tonight, and it's called Identity, Discovering Who You Really Are. And tonight, our message is titled, You Are in Christ. You are in Christ. You know, I read a startling statistic the other day that said 1 billion people, 1 billion, that's roughly 1/7 of the world's population, do not have any official identification. That includes no birth certificate, passport, or driver's license. They have no official documentation to verify who they are. And as a result, they can't open a bank account. They can't connect a phone. They have no access to government services like healthcare. They can't travel out of their country. And they miss out on so many opportunities and benefits, all because they don't have anything that verifies their identity. Now, that's true in the material world in which we live, but it's also true in the spiritual world. If we don't know our spiritual identity, we can miss out on so much that God desires to do and bless us with. So today, we're beginning this new series called Identity, Discovering Who You Really Are. We're going to focus in the book of Ephesians because it addresses this topic head on. And hopefully, as we dig into the Word of God, it'll help each of us gain a better understanding of who we are and who God designed us to be. Read with me, if you will, beginning in Ephesians 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. You know, in this epistle, Paul addresses the question of who we are as believers. And he goes on to show us that who we are changes how we live. And his overarching question, or his overarching answer to the question, who am I, is you are in Christ. Because that encompasses everything else that he will say. In fact, he uses the phrase in Christ or in him 35 times in this letter. And 10 times in this short passage that we just read, because that small phrase holds an incredibly important spiritual truth concerning our identity. We are in Christ. So what exactly does that mean? First of all, if you're in Christ, you are not defined by what you do, but by who you belong to. You are not defined by what you do, but who you belong to. You are a child of God. We just read it that we have received the adoption of sons through Christ or in Christ. Someone has said that the greatest question of the new millennium is, who am I? And due to the breakdown of family and society, people have been left confused and searching for their identity, asking the question, who am I? The writer states, in a world without God, which America is increasingly becoming, the greatest philosophical question we struggle with is, who am I? Because our identity is wrapped up in our Creator and in our Savior. And if we don't acknowledge Him, then we lose the core of our being, of who we are. Some people seek their identity in what they do. So their identity is wrapped up in their profession. They'll say, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a teacher, I'm a business person, or whatever it might be. Some people identify as a failure because of their past mistakes. Some people take their identity from economic circumstances and say, well, you know what? I'm just a poor kid from the wrong side of town and I'll never make it in life. And then there's, of course, all kinds of people who are confused about their identity in regard to gender and sexuality nowadays. And our identity is also often clouded by our past experience and failures. But if we have committed our lives to Christ, our identity comes from our relationship with Him. And above all, that means that we are a child of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want us to understand, everyone is not automatically a child of God. God is the creator of every human being, and He loves each and every person, and Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Amen? But sin has broken man's relationship with God. And as Paul says in Ephesians 2, those who are apart from Christ, they are living under the dominion of Satan, the god of this world. They are the children of disobedience, and they are destined for eternal judgment. They are not in relationship with God. When you're in sin, you are not a child of God. But Christ's death on the cross paid the penalty for our sins so that we can be forgiven and restored to right relationship with God. And the Bible says, to as many as believed upon Him, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. When we repent of our sins and place our faith in Christ, Paul tells us in verse 4 that He chose us in Christ. In verse 5, that He predestined us to receive the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Now, when he talks about being predestined to receive the adoption of sonship, he doesn't mean that sometime in eternity past, God decided to pick certain people to be His children and to exclude others. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that the fact that in eternity past, God knew that he would create us and that we would sin. And God made a provision. The Bible says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. God had already devised the plan of salvation before He created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. Before they ever sinned, God already had prepared the plan of salvation, the plan through which our sins could be forgiven and we could be made children of God. Now, when we receive the adoption of sons, you know, adoption in biblical times meant that the child that was adopted was given full rights as an heir. That means that the Bible says we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. That means that we have full rights to everything that is Christ. We equally share in that. Amen. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We have access to all of the blessings and resources of heaven through Christ. Through Christ. We have the right, we have the privilege, and we have the blessing of being a child of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a child of God. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, you are a child of God. Amen. And what does that mean? It means you have a heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally. Hallelujah. In verse 2, Paul calls Him God our Father. Now, you know, many people may or may not have had an earthly father that was a part of their lives, but whether your earthly father was good, bad, indifferent, or absent, if you have accepted Christ, you now have a perfect heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? He loves you beyond your wildest dreams, and He wants to be involved in every detail of your life. Your identity is not about what you have or have not done. Your identity is not about your failures or mistakes. Your identity is not about who has loved you or who has rejected you or who left you. Amen. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is in Christ. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you have been adopted as a child of God. In Christ, you are loved unconditionally. Hallelujah to the Lord. That ought to make you lift your head, square your shoulders, and say, I am a child of God. Hallelujah. And the second thing we see, if you're in Christ, you are not your own. You are not your own. Our value is determined by the price Jesus paid for us. You know, we often measure the worth of our life by what we have accomplished, or by how other people see us or treat us or value us, by whether they accept us, by whether they reject us. But our value is not determined by any of that. Our value is determined by the price that Christ was willing to pay for us. And the purchase price for us was his own life offered on the cross of Calvary. He paid the highest price for you. That means he attached the highest value to you. Amen? You are of highest value to him. Don't let what you've done, or what has been done to you by others, or what has been said to you by others, diminish your worth. God has placed the highest value on you. In giving his son on the cross, he said, "You are worth it to me." Hallelujah. We belong to God because he purchased us. In verse 7, Paul says, "In him we have redemption." Now, the word redemption in Greek was taken from the slave markets of Paul's day. And it means to purchase a slave in order to set them free. The word literally means to release from bondage through the payment of a price. Jesus paid the price to set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan. He purchased us so that we belong to him. But he doesn't want to possess us. He frees us to love and serve him of our own choosing. Hallelujah. Now, we use the term belong. See, he purchased us, we belong to him, and he has set us free. But we use the term belong in different ways. The word belong can indicate ownership. My car belongs to me. I own it. Or the word belong can speak of relationship. Have you ever seen some kids running wild and someone asks, "Who do those kids belong to?" And if they're ours, we don't want to claim it. If they're somebody else's, we say, "They belong to that couple over there." If they're ours, we just walk and ignore it. But what we're saying is they are connected to that person in a close personal relationship. You see, no one wants to be owned by anyone else, but we all have a desire to belong. We all have a deep longing to be fully known and fully loved and fully accepted. Our heart desires that deep personal connection. And the good news is that you belong to God, not as a possession, but as a relationship. As a relationship, you are connected to God as your Father. He chose you, he wants you, and he went to incredible lengths to make a relationship with you possible. Hallelujah. Christian minister and author Tim Keller writes, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is what we need more than anything." To be fully known and truly loved is what we need more than anything. Well, you know what? God knows you fully. He knows you inside out. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, "He knows every thought before I think it. He knows my down sitting and my uprising, my coming in and going out. He knows every word before I speak." He knows us completely, inside and out. He knows every thought. He knows you intimately. He knows you fully. And you know what? He still loves you. Even though he knows all your flaws and all your shortcomings, all my flaws, all my shortcomings, amen? And he still loves us completely. And he invites us into relationship with him. He wants you to be his. He wants you to be loved by him and to love him. He wants you to choose to belong to him. Hallelujah. I choose to be his. What about you? Amen. Thirdly, if you are in Christ, it's not about you, it's about him. It's not about you, it's about Him. If we are in Christ, we live for Christ because Christ lives in us. Jesus illustrated what it means to be in Christ using the analogy of a vine and branches. In John 15:5, He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." To be in Christ means to remain vitally connected to Christ as a branch is connected to the vine. If you walk outside, if it was light out there and you could see, you would see thousands of trees. We live in a beautiful green city, don't we? Isn't it wonderful? So much better than being up north where there are no leaves right now and just dry sticks. Amen? I love South Florida. But we live in a beautiful green city. And there are all kinds of trees, right? There are palm trees, there's oak trees, there's all sorts of trees. And they're green, and they're growing, and they're blooming. I see so many blooms on the mango tree and the avocado tree behind my house. Ooh, I say, Lord, let all the fruit fall on my side of the fence. Hallelujah. Amen. But they're growing, they're green, they're blooming. But even though they're all different varieties of trees, they all have something in common. The branches are all connected to the trunk of the tree. Without the trunk, the branches cannot survive or bear fruit. All of the water and nutrients flow from the trunk or the vine into the branches. And if a branch is cut or separated from the trunk, guess what happens? It begins to die. Jesus says that in order for us to live and thrive spiritually and be fruitful, we must stay vitally connected to Him because He is the source of life. When we are connected to Him, His life flows through us. Hallelujah. In Galatians 2:20, Paul explained it this way. He says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." But I love that. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. In other words, to live in Christ requires dying to self, which means that we no longer live to serve our desires or our ambitions, but to bring glory to His name and to advance His purpose, not our purpose. Amen? In Ephesians 1:11 and 12, Paul tells us that in Christ, God has a plan and a purpose for all mankind to restore us unto Himself, that He might be glorified. And He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. And when Christ is living in us, our life will be lived for His purpose. We live not for our plans, but to fulfill His plan. And our constant prayer is, "Not my will, but Your will be done." When we are in Christ, His mission becomes our mission. His purpose becomes our purpose. His will becomes our will. Amen. When you are in Christ, you do not belong to this world. You belong to God's kingdom. Jesus prayed for His disciples in the high priestly prayer, His last prayer for them while He was in His earthly body, in John 17:14-16. And He says, "I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world." That's the second time He says that. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. And this prayer reveals such an important truth. As believers, although we still live in this world, we do not belong to this world. We belong to the Lord. Amen. Paul speaks of it in terms of citizenship in Philippians 3:19-20. And Paul contrasts those whose destiny is destruction because they only live to gratify their selfish fleshly desires and their mind is focused on earthly things. But he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." Amen. See, I don't care if you are a U.S. citizen or not. We don't live for this earthly kingdom. Amen? Our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. And when we get saved, we receive a new citizenship. We become citizens of the kingdom of God. If you see yourself as a citizen of this world, our goals, ambitions, and focus will be to make the most of this earthly life. That's the driving force between the popular acronym that was circulating a few years ago, YOLO. Y'all remember how popular YOLO was? It means you only live once. So, you know, you need to get out, you need to grab life, and you know. It's a focus that says make the most out of this life because you only live once. So make your money now, have fun, travel. If you want something, buy it. Don't deny yourself. That was kind of the philosophy. But when we are in Christ, we recognize that we are strangers and foreigners traveling through this world, but we do not belong here. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Amen? We are temporary residents. And that should give us a sense of alienation. You know, when you come to the United States, you're not a citizen. You get an alien registration card. Amen? You're an alien. It says you're not a citizen. You don't really belong here. Amen? Well, it should give us a sense of alienation to this world to know that we are not citizens of this world, but we are citizens of God's heavenly kingdom. So we don't fit in. We don't belong here. I've had the privilege of traveling to several countries, Mexico, Spain, China, Cambodia, Taiwan, Thailand, and others, most of them mission trips. And I love to meet different people. I love to learn about different cultures and see different places. But I always had an awareness that I didn't belong there. That was not my home. That was not my permanent residence. There was a very real awareness that I spoke differently, I dressed differently, and I had a different language and different customs and different practices. Amen? You all know what I mean if you've traveled elsewhere. When we understand that we are citizens of the kingdom of God and just foreigners here on earth, we live differently than this world because we don't belong here. This is not our home. So we will refuse to be conformed to this world, but rather we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We will set our mind on things above, not on things of this earth. We will live for a heavenly kingdom with heavenly values and heavenly priorities. Amen? We will understand that in the short time that we have as we pass through this world, we will live and work and raise our families. We'll be good citizens, but we'll realize that we live for a higher purpose. We live to serve God. We live to fulfill His purpose. We live to fulfill His plan for our lives, to reach the lost and build His church. Too many Christians allow themselves to be defined and identified by their job, their economic class, their educational degrees, the car they have in the garage, their bank balance, their relational status. You know, that's a big thing online, right? Relational status. You know, when people change their relationship status, they make a big deal out of it. You know, went from single to being engaged or big deal. Amen? People allow themselves to be defined by their social media influence. How many followers do I have? How many likes do I get? Amen? But when we are in Christ, we are no longer defined by these things. Our citizenship has changed. Amen? To be in Christ means that Christ lives in us, and we are no longer defined by the labels, accomplishments, or acknowledgments of this world. We no longer live. Christ is living in us. Someone has said, if you belong to this world, you will do worldly things. If you belong to God, you will do godly things. Hallelujah. Folks, salvation is not about behavior modification. That's what psychology is about. You have some unwanted behaviors, we'll help you to change them. And that's why psychology is not very effective, because you know what? You can't counsel out sin or the fleshly nature. Amen? And you can't counsel out the works of darkness that are at work in a person's life. Because if a person doesn't know Christ, they're under the power of darkness. Amen? And no amount of counseling or therapy can change that, no matter how much you try to modify their behavior. So salvation is not about behavior modification. It's about life transformation. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. There's been a change of ownership. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We have been made a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Hallelujah. Salvation is not just a change in our eternity. It is a change in our identity. It is a change in our identity. But just as identity theft is rampant in our society, the devil specializes in identity theft. And that is the reason that many Christians still struggle in walking out their identity in Christ. They still feel worthless. They may be filled with shame. They may feel insecure. They may be filled with fear because the enemy has managed to steal your identity. If you've ever been to a carnival and gone through the House of Mirrors, you know that they have all of these different mirrors that distort your image, right? Some may make you look short and fat, while others make you look tall and thin. Those are the ones I like. I'll stand in front of them for a long time. Let me not move. Amen. But the problem is that the image you're seeing is not accurate. It's not a true reflection of who you are. And similarly, the devil tries to give us an inaccurate image of who we are, that we'll see ourselves as a failure, that we'll see ourselves as a sinner that can never change, that we'll see ourselves as someone that God could never love, that we'll see ourselves as being forgotten or abandoned by God, and many other negative thoughts. Or he may take another tack, trying to make you think that life is better without God. You don't need God. You can do whatever you want to do. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But like in the carnival mirror, remember that that image is not real. Hallelujah. We need to focus on our God-given identity by fixing our mind and our heart upon him and filling our soul and our spirit with his word. What does his word say? His word says we belong to God. His word says that we are a child of God. His word says that we have a heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally. His word says we are no longer who we used to be, but we have been made a new creation. His word says that we no longer live, but Christ is living in us. His word says that we have a new identity. We have a new purpose. God has a plan for our life, and that his mission is our mission. We are no longer citizens of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. So we live with a different perspective. And so our prayer needs to be, Lord, help me walk in my identity in Christ. Because when we walk in our identity in Christ, we walk with a confidence that he is living in us. We walk with an assurance that he is with us every step that we take and he loves us. Hallelujah. And we walk differently through this world, because we know who we are in Christ. How many of you want to walk in your identity in Christ? Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Lord, help me to know who I am in Christ and to walk in that identity. Lift up your voice. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that we have a changed identity. We have a clear and certain identity in Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us to know fully who we are in Christ. We are a child of God, and we are loved beyond our wildest imagination. We belong to you. You want us. You want a relationship with us, Lord God, and you will never fail us. Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in that truth every single day so that we can walk out your good plan and purpose for our life with confident assurance, Lord God. Father, let your word that we have heard tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit bring down all negative thoughts, all images that Satan has disfigured, Lord God, to make us lose our identity or think differently about ourselves than what your word says, Lord God. Father, right now we pray that you would demolish every one of those false identities, Lord God. And Father, that who we are in you, who your word says we are, would fill our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. We'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.